Good morning, church. After all that beautiful music, I'm going to crash that mood with war. Wasn't that a beautiful rendition of the Lord's Prayer? You know, I get to listen to these folks sing every week, maybe two or three times a week. But every time they sing that song, it always puts a tear in my eye. I think that's the Spirit moving through their voices. You all don't want to miss it this afternoon. My title today is The War Rages On. The battles rage on. Why is it that when we look at our society, we see a lot of war going on right now? I look back at my family, and before I start, let me have a word of prayer here. Lord, I invite your Spirit to cover me with your righteousness. Not my words, but thy words. May I touch someone's heart today, and may they give their heart to you. Amen. There's a lot of fighting going on in the world today. Let's look at the reality of our lives today. I am the youngest of 13 brothers and sisters. They didn't have television back there. So they had other things that they did. But I'm the product of a loving mother and father. And when I look at my life through my father's life and the grandfather's life, there's always been a war going on. There was the Civil War. My grandparents were born back in the 1800s. My dad was born in 1915. You had World War I going on. Millions of people killed. Pestilence, diseases, lives destroyed. And then there was World War II. People fighting and killing, atomic nuclear bombs. Millions and millions of people, lives being destroyed. And then there was the Korean War. Again, hundreds of thousands of people being killed. And then there was the Vietnam War. Millions of people killed on the other side. 50-some-odd thousand killed on our side. Wars and rumors of wars. These are all products of the prophecies that Jesus spoke of. And then there's today. We have Afghanistan. We have Iraq. We have all these wars in which individuals are being killed. And what is the purpose of all of this? Someone just said money. That's part of it. But there's a battle going on for worship. I remember one time I wrote a sermon that was called "The Devil Wants You Today for Tomorrow." Let me repeat that. The devil wants you today for tomorrow. You know, when you look at Revelation, it talks about individuals going up on the breath of the earth and encompass the camp of the saints, and fire comes down from heaven and devours them. That's going to be the final chapter, a war between good and evil. But I want to talk about three categories of war. There was a war in heaven. There are wars on earth. And then you have a personal battle that wars inside you. Now, all the things that happened in heaven, God wrote those in his books so you understand the battles. All the things that took place on earth in all these wars and battles is for your learning that you'll have hope. But the battle that takes place in you is started a long time ago. Let's take a look at heaven, for instance. God created man in his own image, after his likeness. But there was an enemy that said, look, you know, I know God created you. He said you could eat of all the trees in the garden except for this one. And he says that if you eat it, you will surely die. Now, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And he said unto the woman, thou shalt not surely die. but you may become as God. Now, we know the story of Adam and Eve. We know that Eve saw this fruit and that it was beautiful, and it was something that could make her more like God. The devil wasn't offering her anything that sounded terrible, but it wasn't what God said. And so here it is. This fruit is beautiful. One, to make her wise like God. And so she took the fruit. You know, we have some books that gives us a clear understanding of what really took place. It said that the serpent talked to the woman and said, look, I was minding my own business, and I took a bite of the fruit, and now I have the power of speech. No other animals were talking. This is mesmerizing, because this woman is now having conversation with a serpent. And he's telling her that if you eat this fruit, you're going to become more like God. And so here it is. She eats the fruit. She gets this feeling of sensation of, wow, elevated. And she takes the fruit to her husband. And he's looking at her, you know, she's eating the fruit, just as beautiful as ever. And he takes the fruit and he eats it. And at that very moment, their eyes were open. And this is where warfare begins. I was in the Marine Corps, the drill instructor. And what we would teach the individuals is to be able to camouflage and conceal themselves. And so here it is. They're naked now. So they take these leaves, these fig leaves, and they make clothes. They're trying to cover their sins. Sometimes we try to cover our sins. We put on these faces. We put on these clothes to try to cover our sin. Not only did they cover their sins, they went and hid themselves, concealed themselves in the bushes so that God couldn't see them. Sometimes we do the same thing. We have devices that we hide our sins. We have to be careful, because sometimes we try to impress each other. We try to impress each other so that we can appear to be righteous. We're trying to fool each other, but we can't fool God. This is warfare, and the battle is for your soul. And who are the combatants in this battle? We have this individual called the devil, used to be called Lucifer. If you look at the story of Lucifer in Ezekiel and Isaiah, it says that he was perfect. It talks about all the different stones that were made into his being. He even had pipes. He could sing better than in rare form by himself. They said he could sing five-part harmony. It says that he had the tabret made into, which is like a tambourine. This guy was a walking musician. He was beautiful. He was perfect. But he had an issue. He started looking at himself. Now think about it. He's the covering cherub of God. Remember the story of Moses? Moses, when he went up into the mount, he came down, his face was shining. Inspiration says that Lucifer and Jesus, when they approach different worlds, you couldn't tell the difference from a distance because they were both shining. I was looking at Ezekiel. It talks about all the different stones that were made into Lucifer. And if you can imagine him being in the presence of the Most High God. And so when he stepped out from walking in the mountains, he was shining like the sun. And so here it is, all this beauty he has, all these angels that he's worshiping or bringing into worship before the Lord. In the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter, it says there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels before the throne. This was the leader that led all of them into worship to the Most High God. And yet he had a problem of self-righteousness. He said that, look, I have a better plan than God has. You need to read some of these books that our prophetess wrote. He said he had a better way. He says, I don't need, and you don't need, all these rules that God has given. He says, I can make it better. And so sometimes we put aside God's rules and we put our own concepts in there. I always tell people, I say, when you look at the scriptures, you have laws. Don't get confused about this woman, Ellen White. The Bible says that she was, well, not the Bible, she was inspired. We know that she was. She's in the Guinness Book of Records of writing more than anyone ever. Think about this. I think she had, a third grade education? And she's writing more books than anyone in history. The Jewish scholars, they say that based upon the style of her writing, she was definitely influenced by God, because the same style of writing is the same style of the prophets. So she was connected. And so here this entity called the devil, he decides he wants to be God. And here's the issue that we have. He wanted to be like the Most High God. He said, I will ascend. I will sit in the mount. I will be like the Most High God. So this warfare that we're dealing with is dealing with worship. Inspiration tells that he had the opportunity to go out into all of the worlds that God had created. You know, there are other worlds. How many of you knew that there were other worlds? Raise your hand if you knew that. Do you know that the Bible talks about other worlds? How many didn't know that? In the story of Job, it says that the sons of God, now here, this is how God is. Satan has become the prince of this world. Because when Adam bowed down, I'm giving you all a little history and little stories here. When Adam bowed down and obeyed Satan, Satan became his master. And that's how he became the prince of this world. Adam was the original prince of this world. This world was made for Adam. But we pay homage to whoever we obey. And so in the fall of Adam, he gave up his rulership. And so in the story of Job, it says, and the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan came with them. Satan came there because he was the representative of this world. The sons of God who are listed in the book of Job, the first chapter, those are representatives from other worlds that God has made. So don't think when you look up in the heavens that all these stars and galaxies are empty. I remember when the Hubble telescope went up. How many of you remember when the Hubble telescope? It was all out of focus. They couldn't see anything. Now, all along, when I looked at my astronomy books, all we saw were stars. But when the Hubble telescope was opened and they peered into space, what they thought were stars were galaxies, untold numbers of galaxies. And so imagine that God is God of all of that. And Lucifer had an opportunity to go to all these different places to state his case that I had a better place. And you know, only one fell. That lost sheep. You know who the lost sheep is? We are. We're the lost sheep that Jesus left all the others to come and save us. And that is the story that we're talking about in this battle of worship. The plan of redemption was made before the creation of the world. Think about that. God knew that we would have a situation problem down here, and he had already put together a plan. And we need to understand that God knows all these things. And so in this battle, when we look at Revelation, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they prevailed not, and they were cast out into the earth. When I read Revelation, I think that sometimes it has dual meanings. You see, when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, he'd already been kicked out. He'd already been kicked out. He was looking for a place to set up his rulership, and Adam fell for it. And so that's why we're in this mess today. God loves us so much, and his character was on trial. See, a lot of times we think that all this is about us. It is not just about us. It's about God. God is love, and Satan said that God didn't have your best interests. And God says, look, I love you so much that I'm going to give you my son. Think about that. He could have let us just drift off into the space when we look at all that's out here. But God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. Now, how powerful is the love of God? The Bible tells us that no man entereth unto the Father but by him. So I want you to understand in this battle that it's all about this world. It's about Hindus. It's about Buddhists. It's about all different religions. Because you know what Revelation says, come out of her, my people. Now, think about this. There are people in China who don't know Jesus, but they have these loving laws that God has instilled into their presence, but they don't know Jesus. But they will get an opportunity to go to heaven based upon what Jesus did. Understand what I'm saying? Everyone that enters through these gates one day is based upon what Jesus did. Think about that. There were times when you didn't know Jesus. How many of you were not born into this faith? How many of you were sinners? How many of you are sinners? Me too. And so what I'm saying is that God so loved us that he gave us the Holy Spirit today. And so you have the opportunity to find peace. And what I understand more is that imagine going through life without Jesus. Imagine all the hardship that we see in the world today without Jesus. Imagine the people who are suffering without Jesus. And God says, all I want you to do is join the battle. Be a witness. Have a testimony, because that testimony will strengthen someone else. Understand that the same things that are going on out in the world are the same things that are going and taking place in the church. The only difference is we got Jesus. We got Jesus to fall back on. We got folks out here. I look at the news lately and, you know, folks not getting paid. How many of you all been in a job situation, lost your job, and didn't get paid? That's not fun, is it? That's not fun. I'm going to tell a couple of stories here. Right now, I'm going to tell a story about a guy named Moses. Moses. If you recall the story of Moses, the issue that took place then, there were too many Hebrews in Egypt. There was too many people that weren't of that nationality. So what did Pharaoh do? He says, look, when they're born, if it's a girl, let her live. If it's a boy, kill him. But I want you to understand there's a hidden message there. There are hidden messages all throughout the Bible. The real issue in the Bible is not just you. Remember what the Lord said to Adam and Eve in the serpent. He said, the serpent, he said, I'm going to put enmity between my seed and your seed. My seed's going to crush your head, and your seed's going to bruise my heel. That's where the war really began. Because all throughout history, the devil is worried about getting his head crushed. And so what he wanted to do was destroy the seed that was going to come. Think about it. Moses, a prophet of the Lord. The devil wanted to kill him because he was going to deliver God's people. And if he delivered God's people, the tribes of Judah would bring forth Jesus. And so here it is. He tried to destroy Moses. He tried to destroy Joseph. He tried to destroy David. He tried to destroy Jesus. Think about it. I saw the dragon stand before the woman ready to devour her child. That was Herod working through the devil. The devil working through Herod to kill this child who was to come and crush his head. So think about it. There was war in heaven. This same entity knew that his time was coming. And notice what Revelation says. It says that he made war and he was cast down. And when he realized he was cast down, he went to make war with the remnants of his seed who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. That's you. That's you. He don't like you. He wants to destroy you. So understand, this warfare is still going on. Look at the story of Joshua. Joshua, when Moses died, he was given the rulership to lead the people into the promised land. But you know, when you read the story of Joshua, it says, I'm going to deliver the king. The king was considered a god in the Old Testament. The firstborn were considered gods. You stop to think about Moses. What he told Moses to tell Pharaoh was, let my people go that they may worship me. If not, I'm going to destroy your firstborn. That's what he said up front. But he said, I'm going to harden his heart. And he started talking about, well, you know, cast your little rod out here and turn the river into blood. Do you all realize that when he turned the river to blood, the Nile was turned to blood? The ponds, the lakes were turned to blood? All the vessels that they had their water in was turned to blood. Can you imagine what it smelled like back then? All the fish dying. And here Pharaoh is. Yeah, well, I'll let your people go. And then as soon as the curse was left, he changed his mind. I remember once when I was in the Marines, we landed on an island. You know, we have Amtraks. That's the vehicle that comes off the big ship. And when we landed on the island, everything started moving. The whole island covered with flying roaches. And so here we are. We're camped there, and roaches are in the radios. Roaches are on you, and you swatting and everything. Because these roaches are flying. And so if you can imagine living with roaches. But look at some of the plagues of Egypt. They had lice. They had locusts. They had frogs. They had all kind of boils. They had fire coming down. And Pharaoh, hard-headed. How many sins in your life do you have that you're hard-headed with? We need to let God destroy some of the idols in our lives. There's a lot of idols out there. A lot of distractions. And that's all Satan's trying to do is distract you so that you don't worship God. Distractions. It's a spiritual battle too. You stop to think about it. Everything that you decide is decided inside your mind. I always tell folks, you know, when I was in the service, I used to read the book of Ezekiel, and it talked about Gog and Magog coming up against Israel. And so back in 1977, the Shah of Iran was disposed of. Anybody remember the Shah of Iran back in the day? United States were allies with Iran. We had troops. We had bases. And you know what they call black folks over there then? Oh, that's Muhammad Ali. That's Muhammad Ali. They thought the black folks were Muhammad Ali. They loved us, you know. And so There was a time we was having confrontation there, and I told all the guys on the field, on the drill field, I said, you know, we're going to get kicked out of Iran. They said, no, man, we can't get kicked out of Iran. We got. They said, how do you know? I said, well, I'm looking at the Bible, and it says that Gog and Magog are going to take rulership with them, so that means the Russians are going to move in. And what's happening today? Russians are moving in. And so, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in the scriptures. And so, you know, we look at a lot of things that are happening today, and God said they're going to happen. Now, here's the thing. How many of you all have lost your water in your house one day? You know, plumbing went out. Kind of messed up, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Do you realize, let me backtrack. All right, let's go back to the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Y'all remember that story? All right, here's another battle. Here it is. God's people are under the rulership of Ahab and Jezebel, right? And they're worshiping a god that's supposed to be able to bring water down and everything, and God of the sky and the clouds and the thunder. And Elijah then shut up the water from heaven. It ain't rained in how long? 3 years? 3 years. It hadn't rained. And so here it is. He comes up to the servants and says, I need to talk to Ahab. So Ahab comes out and he says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? Y'all remember the story, right? He says, I'm not troubling Israel, but you're troubling them because you have forsaken the commandments of God to follow Baal. And so he says, look, let's have a contest. If God be God, we'll serve him. If Baal be God, we'll serve him. So here it is. They have this contest. The contest is we're going to all make a sacrifice. We're all going to cry out to our God. And whoever's God is God, the fire going to come down from heaven. Simple test, right? Now notice, they all wanted the same thing. They all set up their sacrifices the same way. But one, they expected the same thing. And so here it is, the story tells us in 1 Kings, 18th chapter, that the prophets of Baal set up their altar. They put the bullocks, cut it in pieces, and they put it on the altar. And they cried out, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. What happened? Nothing. Elijah started getting kind of feisty. He said, well, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Or maybe he's on vacation. He's pre-adventure. These guys, the Bible said, they began to cut themselves. And blood gushed out of their wounds. They were sincere. They were dedicated. But they were wrong. So Elijah said, hey, you know, even the sacrifice time, y'all need to chill. And so here it is. He sets up his altar. He has his bullock. He has his cut. He cut it in pieces. And he says, look, put water on it. Put some more water on it. Put some more water on it. Put some more water. The water was running off all in the trenches and everything. I don't want you to have a doubt that who God is. Now notice what he says. He says, he didn't get up there and get this long prayer. He said, oh God, that they may know that you are. Before he was even finished, fire came down. Consume the sacrifice. Consume the rocks. Dried up all the water. And notice what happened next. He says, seize every one of those false prophets and kill them. And after that, Jezebel got mad. He took off running. What you running for? Your God just showed you who he was, but you're running. Revelation says that I saw the spirits come out of the mouth of the unclean beasts, the false prophets, and the dragon. It says that if you don't worship the beasts, Notice what it says. This beast makes fire come down from heaven, doesn't he? In the sight of men. This beast says that if you don't worship, you're going to be put to death. This beast made the fire come down. Elijah had the fire come down. John's on this island, and he's telling these disciples and these churches that there's going to come a day when your worship may cost you your life. Because he's actually regurgitating what God did. The fire came down and signified that these are the commandments of God. When the Sunday law comes, that's going to signify that this is the way you're supposed to worship. And what's going to happen then? You're going to give up your life? Yeah, God's going to protect you. But notice some of the things that's going to take place. You won't be able to buy or sell. Right? So when they turn your water off from the water department, you can't even flush your toilet. When they hit the light switch, you don't have no lights. When you try to use your ATM card, it ain't gonna work. No man could buy or sell unless he worshiped the beast. So what am I saying? This is a war. You need to start preparing yourself psychologically for what's going to come your way. It ain't always be easy. They may be outside waiting on you. What we're seeing today is going to intensify. And you have to be prepared. This is warfare. This is war. Because the devil is angry. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. So you have to ask yourself, am I prepared for that right now? Am I prepared that when I go to work and they say, I got to work on Sabbath, and you lose your job? Are you willing to give up your job? Are you willing to give up your home? Are you willing to give up your family? These are decisions you're going to have to make one day. We're sitting here today. We have air conditioning. We have automobiles. Life is fine. Some people say that I don't even need God right now. They don't understand that he makes the heart beat every morning when they get up. But understand, you got to prepare for this. The Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, there's an old thing is that when you look at Revelation, it says he caused a third of the stars to fall with him. Now, if he can fool a third of the angels in the presence of God, what are you going to do with your little pea brain? You better put on the whole arm of God. See, we think that all this is fancy free. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. What kind of love is that? That God would go through all of this for us. I'm looking forward to walking the streets of gold one day. I always tell people that I'm looking forward to space travel. You know, Revelation chapter 20 says that you're not going to sit around and do nothing. But you're going to be priest of God. You're going to live and reign with him. Do you understand what live and reign means? It means you're going to have some authority. This is serious. God is putting you on a pedestal. And he wants to show you to the world. Look at the story of Job. Have you considered Job? Have you considered? He lost everything. When you read the story of Job, you need to read that today when you go home, the first chapter. Here this man is minding his own business, and the servants come and say, you know, the folks came and they took your cattle. Folks came and your daughters died. folks came, and all this is happening in succession. And while he was saying this, this happened. And when he was saying this, that happened. You got some hardship that may come your way. Will God be able to say, you consider your servant Greg? I got some work to do. When God says, look, I'm going to put you on the pedestal. Now notice who was in the congregation of the heavenly host. All the sons from the other worlds. And God's bragging on Job. Can God brag on you? How many can God brag on? Dig a hole. But you know the cool thing about Jesus? He says, look, it ain't about what you did. It's about what I did. Amen. I used to think that when I read Revelation, it talked about the city gates, you know, all of them built of giant pearls. And everybody gets to go through one of those gates. And I used to always think that it's based upon your character flaw that you overcame. You know, because some of the sons of Jacob, they were murderers and thieves and adulterers and liars and all sorts of misfits. And so I figured that, well, when they connected with the Lord, they overcame those problems that they had, which makes sense. But then when I started thinking about why the cities were named after the tribes of the Hebrews, and it came to me that God looks at us as though we never sin. Isn't that beautiful? Because I tell you, there's nothing that I have done that can warrant eternal salvation. There's nothing I've done that could give me the keys to heaven. There's nothing I've done that can give me eternal life. And so his grace today is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you. There is a battle coming, but you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to take over your life. We need to quit trying to impress people and impress God. There are things that we have done in our lives that we are glad that God cast them to the depths of the sea. There are things that I don't ever want to have to answer to. You know, the Bible says there's a judgment. And every day, names come up. Inspiration in the Bible tells us that this started back in the 1800s. And that God is going through all the dead. And when their name come up, he's going to say, my blood is sufficient. Oh, I know I'm not. And then he's going to get to the living. And he's going to say the same thing. My blood is sufficient, or I know him not. The tragic thing about that is that when Jesus comes, many folks are going to go, oops, time's up. 2000 party over, oops, out of time. How many of you heard those lyrics before? Prince thought that the world was going to end in 2000. And here it is 19 years later. And God is still going through the thing. Hey, I'm holding out for you. I'm holding out for me. I don't want anyone to be lost. But the judgment continues to go on. My blood is sufficient. Or I know I'm not. And then one day, as Revelation says, all heaven would be empty. Jesus is going to say, it is finished. We're going to still be alive, some of us, maybe. And he's going to say, it is finished. All heaven, Revelation says, is empty. There's no more mediation going along. Why? Because they're on their way to earth. He says, I'm going to come. I'm going to come quickly. And my reward is going to be with me. What a beautiful day that's going to be when we all get to heaven. Can I get that song sung? Can y'all do that for me? When we all get to heaven, can you do that for me? Yeah. So here it is. All heaven is empty. Folks are running to the rocks. They're crying out. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? But then there's another group that says, wow, you know that fake God over there that's been running around trying to pretend he's God? That ain't God. Lo, this is our God. He will save us. And so here we are, folks running to the rocks, closing their eyes. You know, when lights get so bright, you can close your eyes and you can still see the light. Even those that pierced him, even those that pierced him, going to be raised to see that he was the one. We have an opportunity now to join this battle. We're already in the battle, whether we know it or not. When you look at the story of Revelation 12, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. The dragon and his angels fought. And they prevailed not. And they were cast unto the earth. All heaven is rejoicing. All heaven is rejoicing because the accuser of the brethren, they got tired of hearing his mouth. You see, look at that one. You said she was yours, and look what she's doing. You said he was yours, and look what he's been cast down. He's no longer the representative of earth. Jesus, the seed, has become victorious. Think about that. He tried to destroy Jesus as a babe. They hounded him all through his ministry. And even after he died, they're going to put a big stone there like they're going to keep him down. You're going to keep the Son of God down in the ground. They put a big stone there, and they put legions of army of the Roman soldiers around trying to keep Jesus down. But you know what the Bible says? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He is the Lord. And so here we are. God is victorious. The devil's been cast down. All of heaven is rejoicing because they don't have to listen to this guy's mouth anymore. But he says, woe. Woe. Unto the inhabitants of this earth. For the devil has come down having great wrath. For he know his time is short. And so if his time is short, we need to be ready. Because the Lord's going to say soon, it is finished. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen.